Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Melanated God Talk. I am your host, IQ the Baby God. I want to just thank everyone for listening. This is test number 4. We're just trying to go over a few things today. So first and foremost, I'd just like to begin by my moniker, which is he who controls the black thought controls the world. It's a statement that if you sit back to really analyze how the world is set up, it's a good chance that the only real commodity on earth is the melanated people. So you should keep that in mind as you make your decisions on a day-to-day basis. So today's topic is something that I've been a little reluctant to do, just simply for the fact that the things that I may discuss may offend some people. It may also bring up bad memories of things. But what I've learned about trauma and things of that nature and things that have happened to you or just things that do happen is that the only way to ever get over those type of things is you have to discuss it. You have to bring it into the forefront. You have to be able to have real dialogue about issues that we're having amongst each other, as well with the world. Communication is the key for everything. All great ideas start with thoughts, and they come to realization through communication efforts of multiple people to make something happen. So I think that it's very healthy to discuss things that we probably shouldn't. Now, the whole shouldn't part of that is just that that's what the society tells us we shouldn't discuss it, or our family values have taught us not to discuss certain things because it's hurtful. Things that have happened to you in your past can be extremely hurtful, and the only way to truly get over that is being able to share it, because you sharing your experiences may help the next person. That's why it's important for us to each one teach one. Okay, so our topic basically is just about taboo, the taboo part of things in our life. So what I did first and foremost was I want to make sure that I had a clear understanding of taboo. And what I basically did, I just Googled it. So they actually came up with three parts of the definition based upon how it's being used, whether it's a noun, adjective, or verb. Now, the noun for a taboo is a social or religious custom prohibiting or forbidding discussion of a particular practice or forbidding association with a particular person, place, or thing. Okay, that's the noun. Now, the adjective would be prohibited or restricted by social custom. And then finally, verb. Verb's pretty simple. Place under prohibition. Okay. So those three things basically let us know. It's just about things that we just don't discuss. We don't discuss it for one reason or another. Is it right or is it wrong? It just kind of depends on your perception and your stance on it. But today, we're going to try and dive into a couple of subjects that may be taboo, especially for our melanated people. So let's just go into the first topic. The first topic that I came up with is slavery. Now, we do discuss slavery, but in a context of past, no longer present. We feel that slavery is just the factor of being brought on ships and being degraded and beaten and whatever else and done to and made to do labor. Now, that is definitely true. That's definitely true. Did that actually happen? Yeah, but probably not on the accord that we fought, not on a large scale that we fought, but at the end of the day, it did happen. Now, a lot of people, and just to be honest, maybe the perpetrators of the crime or whatever you want to say, are the ones that feel more inclined to not talk about it. And one of the issues that I've heard from people who, when they do take the time to discuss that is, well, that was such a long time ago, that's 400 years or whatever the case may be, how long ago it was. But the issue that I have with that in particular is that it's one thing for you to say that, yes, that was a long time ago and that wasn't me. I haven't picked any cotton. I haven't took the whip to the back. But the truth of it is that how can we get over something that still plagues us today for the simple fact of, one, the money that was made during that period of time is still being used today. The millions and billions of dollars that was made off the backs of ancestors is still being circulated today. A lot of the people who were in that type of business became wealthy. And when you become wealthy, not rich, wealth. Wealth is passed on a generational level. How do you think a lot of these people have trust funds? How do you think a lot of these kids that are 20 to 30 don't have real jobs? Because their parents are rich. It's because the money has been passed down generational over and over again. When you look at inflation, the mere fact that you had a couple million dollars back then is probably worth 5 or 6 times that. So, yes, of course, you can say slavery is a long time ago, but at the end of the day, the money that was made from that exploitation is still being used. It's still being used. It's still being circulated. It's also a form of power that these people have blue-blooded into for the simple fact that their great-great-grandparents were slave owners. So I have a difficult problem with saying, oh, that was the past, when simply the fact that a lot of the issues that we have as far as a power struggle is based upon the fact that a lot of people have gained power through their ancestral bondage of other people. And it wasn't just one-sided where you could just say it was Caucasian. There was other forms of slavery prior to that. You know, there was slaves from the Arabs. There's a good possibility that a lot of different religious organizations that we look to today benefit a great deal from that. The mere fact of one of our inconsistencies is that, have you ever stopped to wonder if the South was producing all these different things, who was buying it? The war, of course, was buying it, but so was the North. The cotton they wore in their suits and their shirts, the tobacco they smoked, sugar cane, all that stuff they consumed. It didn't have the whole North and South didn't have a rift until the South became too powerful, because they were basically getting labor for free. They were powerful, and the North felt that they got too powerful. That's how the whole abolition of slavery came about. It had nothing to do with the fact that they were morally right and they hated the fact that they had slaves. It's just that the South had got too popular and they didn't want to succeed from the North because they didn't want to go with the whole slavery idea and notion. So a lot of things that have been taught may not necessarily pan out the way that they said. For instance, Abraham Lincoln didn't even want black people in the actual Union Army. It really didn't take long for him to figure out if he was going to win, he had to go that route. But even then, when they put him into the army, they weren't allowed to carry guns in the beginning. They weren't allowed. They could only handle jobs like cooking and, you know, maintaining the horses and making sure the men ate and things of that nature. They weren't allowed to even fight for their own freedom. And it wasn't due to the fact that they thought they weren't capable. They knew how strong melanated people are. They knew that. They had been known that for ages. But what fears them the most is having a melanated person with a gun in their hand. Because what stops them from saying, hey, I'm fighting this war, but at the end of the day, you're still my oppressor. So why should I not turn this gun on you? And then you're training forces of black men how to fight. That's a problem. That's a problem to a society that unfortunately has a fear of that. So the slavery issue is definitely a taboo issue, but I think that we need to truly understand that although that was a past situation, it still goes on today. The form of slavery is just different. It's not actual physical violence beating you to go to work, but it's the other part where you know you have to go to work because you have bills and other things to pay. MasterCard and Visa are a lot of times can be your slave master, because at the end of the day, when you have a debt, that is a form of slavery. When you hold a debt with someone or something, you are indebted to them. You're an indentured servant of theirs. It's just the fact that the money that you're sending is the part that gives you the slavery. The fact that companies like that prefer you to never pay off your balance, because at the end of the day, that means I have a lifetime customer. That's absolutely a form of slavery. When you don't have enough money to make it and you have some room in your credit card and you're using that and you're overextending yourself, and most people are in credit card debt a great deal. A lot of people live off of that. That is a form of slavery. You are a slave to that. There's nothing that you should be a slave to. And unfortunately, how our society is set up is that that's pretty much what we have become. It was a way to be found to keep people in bondage without them actually knowing that they're in bondage. Mental bondage is much harder to overcome than physical, because physical, you 100% know who your
the perpetrator is. You know who the person that's persecuting is. When you're under a mental bondage, you have no clue. You have no clue whatsoever. You're just going by your day-to-day routine, doing the thing that you like, and every day that person is gaining power over you for the simple fact that you are becoming a slave. So having a healthy understanding of things that you do on a day-to-day basis may help you to not be involved so much in that slave mentality. Whether we're slaving over fashion or slaving over the new whatever it is out there, because it's always going to be something new and you'll never be able to keep up with it. So never be a slave to anything if you can avoid it. You're already going to be a slave through the society. Understand where your place is and how you can grow from that. And a lot of times this has to do with being self-aware of your surroundings and yourself. Now, I'm one of those people that feel everyone has an opinion. Everyone has something that they want to say. But there's only certain type of people who actually try and come up with a solution. We can all talk about what's bad. We can all talk about what we dislike or what we hate. But do you have a solution for that? Do you have something that you can help others with to try and overcome these things? So this whole slavery mentality is the only way we can truly get out of that mentality is to people who have a true understanding of knowledge and self have to spread that knowledge to one another. We need to start trying to gravitate to nationally recognized black banks. We need to try and uplift one another by working with one another and spending your money with black people or melanated people. I mean, that's an important factor of getting out of slavery. When you no longer need the slave master, when you no longer need him, then there's no reason for you to ever go to him. And financial independence is one of those ways that we can do that. We need to start coming up with think tanks of people who have financial background and have had experience in the real world. They know how things work. We can always find a way to have that work toward our advantage. It starts with communication with one another. We need to be able to sit down and come up with a course of action, something intangible that people can feel and see. Let's start some programs to help people get where they need to be. One of the things that I'm working on is a ride share program for South Dallas, for the simple fact that during the summertime, it's too hot in Texas to go anywhere. What about the elderly people that need to get to their doctor appointments? Or what about the people who just don't have the bus fare that day or just can't stand outside that long? It's too hot for them to do that. Let's start a ride share program where people in the neighborhood, you are already your neighbor, let's take them to their doctor's appointment. And maybe we can reward you with a gas gift card or something like that, because everyone needs to be compensated for things that they do. I mean, that's the way of the world. So coming up with ideas to bridge a gap between my neighbors and my community is the first step to getting out of slavery, where that we can have real dialogue to form our own things, form our own businesses and form our own corporations and our own ways of transportation to get our neighbors from here and there. Because the more independence that we have, the more likely that we will not or never need to go back to that slavery mentality of begging and asking and waiting and people dictating to us what's fresh. That's never been the case. Never been the case. As melanin people, we are the freshest on the planet. Have been, always will be. There's a reason for that. We are the product. We have always been the product. When the product no longer needs the person selling the product, when the product can sell itself, which we can, we definitely can do that. What need will we have for you? What absolute need will we have for you? There will be none. When we're self-contained and self-maintained, we can always rely on one another. Now, I would like to move on to the second topic. This one is tough for me for the simple fact that what's going on right now, we lost I can't even call him a soldier, really. We lost a general, really, for the simple fact that although his background was gangbanging and we all know what that culture comes from, but when you look past that, because that was his life. That was how he was raised. You know what you know based upon how you come up. But this person also, with all that negativity in his background, still wanted to do something positive, still wanted to see his neighborhood do better, still realized that there was much more to this than just being a rapper, much more to this than just having people looking up to me. I have to do something. I have to show people another way. Not only show them another way, give them another way. I have money. I need to do something with that money besides just blowing on cars and chicks and your drug of choice. There's other things that our celebrities can be doing with their money. And this gentleman, he was one of those people. I don't know the full dynamics of how and why. But the reason why I chose this topic, because it's something that we don't talk about very much. It's a taboo subject, in particular about Nipsey Hussle's situation and his untimely death. And my topic that I chose is informants and leadership. Informants and leadership, they go together. It's been like that throughout history. There's nobody of leadership who did not have an informant among them. It's always been like that, and it will always be like that. I guarantee that every hood, no matter which hood you're from, in America, has a snitch, has an informant. Why? Because they're planted there. A lot of times, they never start out to be a snitch or an informant, but their situation calls for it. It dictates it. For instance, let's say a man gets busted for something. He's facing 10 to 15. He doesn't want to go to jail for 10 to 15, but he knows something. He knows something about someone else that can get him a reduced sentence. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to tell. He's going to tell to save his own skin. Now, in hindsight, that is a normal reaction. That's called self-preservation. I don't agree with snitching or informants or anything like that, but I understand the psychology of it for the simple fact that you're trying to save your own ass. Now, when you got into this situation, you knew what you were doing. You knew what the consequences would be, but yet and still you decide to continue. So when you did get cracked and you got caught, that was your outlet. I'll give you another scenario about informants and snitches. Now, first and foremost, I have nothing but the most respect for women, especially my melanated women. But being used is a totally different thing. And women have been and will be used to be some of the best informants. Most definitely the best informants. Why? Not because they're not loyal. It's because their situation dictates for them to be an informant or a snitch. Example, a woman dealing with a man, he thugging, he doing whatever he doing. So they watching him. They watching him, they watching her, they watching the whole family. They watch everybody. So they come to her and say, hey, we've been watching y'all. We know what kind of dealings you're having in this house. Your dude, he around your kids and all that. If you don't tell us what we need to know, we're going to take your kids from you. And we're going to put them in a foster care, and we're going to just let whatever happened to them happen to them. You'll no longer be able to see your babies. Now, there's no real upstanding woman on this planet that would sacrifice a man for her kids. Never. And if she do, she ain't no real woman anyway. See how easy that is for a woman to be caught up in a situation where she has to tell on her dude or her significant other? It's that simple. It's just that easy whether that can happen. I had an OG tell me, you never tell a woman what you're doing. And it's not because she's disloyal or anything of that nature. It's the fact that her situation will be used against her to tell. And would you blame her? Where the dude is out there doing any kind of thing he wants. And they tell her, I'm going to take your kids. As a man, I wouldn't feel like I'm a man if I said, yeah, choose me over your kids. I'm not a man. And nor would she be a woman if she did so. So that situation is how easy it could switch over to you snitching and telling with somebody. Now, I mentioned before that the whole informant / snitching on leadership has always been there. Back in the day, it was called spies. the name has transferred over to informant and snitch and all that other stuff, but it's the same thing. You're a spy. Spies only really happen during wartime. So I'll let you know the magnitude of some of this Spygate stuff that happens, this informant and snitching. Now, I could go down the line of all of our leaders who pretty much end up dead or murdered, whatever you want to call it, all had informants and snitches in their camp. You can look at, I don't know, let's say Malcolm X. For sure. He has snitches and informants in his camp, in his crew. That's how I was able to get so close to him. That is the number one rule for an informant or a snitch. It's not that you're willing to tell, it's the fact that you can get close. Prime example. This is also about women. One of the biggest factors and ways to get to melanated men is women. Now, this situation doesn't pertain to anything of the previous situation about a woman. A woman who has a man that she cares about, and she chooses her kids over the man for whatever reason, that's something totally different. But what I'm referring to is women who are designed or plan to infiltrate certain things of leadership. And how do they do that? With their feminine wiles. It's a good chance, and it hurt my heart to even hear that or even for it to be a thought, but it makes sense. The Black Panthers. It's a good chance that a few of the women in the hierarchy society of the Black Panther leadership were informants or agents, one of the two. How is it that these black men, pretty much all the leadership, were murdered? Now, there were women of leadership in there too, but not one of them had anything done to them on that type of level. How is it that these women were able to not be murdered? Not be assassinated? How? Why? It's a good chance that they were involved. Good chance of it. And the reason why I say that is because if you notice, and this goes for all informants, should they not be killed because they know too much, they always get positions. If you look at the majority of the women who possibly could have been informants, look at what they do now. They work for universities. They have PhDs. They're teaching courses. Any of them. Look at any of those. I'll go a step further. Besides the Black Panther situation, let's look at Martin Luther King. We all know the story of him being assassinated. But there was a very highly chance that the people that was, a few of them that were in his camp, were spies, informants. I'm going to put a name out there just because, I mean, the time has gone by so much, it doesn't really matter anymore, like, because the people know certain things, but we're not going to do nothing about it. But still, I think it's important for people to know. For instance, there's a good chance that Jesse Jackson was too. The Mr. Rainbow Coalition, I am somebody, all that, there was a good chance of that, an absolute good chance of that. And the reason why I say that is because look what happened to him after Martin Luther King died. People who are informants and they do not get murdered get positions of power because they did well. They did what they were supposed to do. They did all the things that was necessary to get what they needed to get. And a lot of times it's boiled down to selfishness. If it's not an actual situation that they're involved in, they're just envious and jealous of others. I want that spot. Why should he have it? So I'll do anything I can to get him out of that spot. Reverend Al Sharpton. Excuse me, that's good. Excuse me. Good chance he was too. These are the people that were around the civil rights movement and the things that we look up to that allowed us to become who we become and all that stuff. There's a good chance a lot of those people were informants. Excuse working for or with the government. It's sad, but it is the nature of what we've become. We'll never, our leadership never is taken out, usually, by just some random white person. Martin Luther King was. This is that period when a white person kills a man of leadership that is melanated, it raises too many questions. Ah, but if I have one of theirs kill him, no eyebrows raised. For the simple fact that this is what they do to each other all the time. They murder each other for nothing. So yeah, it's easy. And it makes more plausible sense to have one of your own do it. I've been informing on you anyway. I've been telling on you anyway. When the powers that be give you a ultimatum on what you need to do, what we want you to do, most people aren't strong enough to deny that. It's too much. We love our physical shit. We love our physical life, and we'll do anything to protect it. We feel that money is the way to protect it. So we'll do anything for it. That means stab my brother in the back. We all cannot be like that. We have to see people of leadership and look at them and say, you know what? If I do have a jealous bone in my body, I need to get with this person and see how did they do it. Maybe they're willing to take me on their wing and show me. But that's not the mentality of how we feel. We feel like, why should he have all this power? Let me find a way to supersede this. Let me find a way to corrupt it. I hate using that crabs in a barrel, but it's unfortunate because it's true. But that's not who we are as a people. We were taught that. We were taught to be like that. That's not our nature. Our nature is to help all. Because when the chips are down, we going to get together. When some shit really pop off, we going to get together. But until that does, we're going to continue to pull each other down because we've been taught to do so. Once you have a better understanding of self, you treat others just like you treat yourself. And you will not stab your own self in the back, would you? Of course not. If you can have the same healthy understanding and love for your fellow person, the things you do, you would think about before. If I was ever your homie in life, there's no reason, unless you beat the shit out of my mama or something, there's no reason why I feel like I need to kill you. Not over money, not over females, nothing like that. It's not necessary. For one, I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to lose my life in prison over some bullshit. I just don't want to do that. So the informants that are around, they're going to always be there. So the only thing I can really do is tell you how to spot one. You spot informants for a couple of reasons. One, they disappear. They'll disappear for a period of time and then just come back on the scene. And then they want things to be exactly how they were before they left. Where the fuck you been? What you been doing? Point two, spotting informants. An informant will go out of his way to be cool, almost to a point that it just seems false, or asking random questions that don't pertain to you about other people. Be weary of people who do that to you. When you're having a conversation about something totally different, but they steer the conversation to something they want to know about a specific person or your actions or your plans, be weary of telling everybody your moves. Everybody needs to know what you do. Facebook, we've gotten in the habit of thinking that this is a platform to say any and everything that comes to mind is not true. Because really, you just hurt yourself. Because everybody doesn't need to know. If you have no secrets, then it's not an issue. But most of us do. It's good to have secrets to share with yourself. We all have them. Some people say they're skeletons, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the problem. It could just be secrets. Everybody does not need to know what you're thinking. And people who always want to say what's on your mind are at a disadvantage. They think they're being real, but at the end of the day, you're just giving up information. Hold some of your cards close to your vest. Everything does not need to be said whatsoever. Now, I was doing a a little research, and on the same lines of the informants versus leadership and things of that nature, it's absurd that one in 21 black men will die on a basis of murder. And out of that 1 in 21, 93% of them know their assailants. Okay. That's a tough pill to swallow. Because when I saw the statistic on white men and white women, and even black women, it was so much of a disparity between the three. White women were the highest. They were like 1 in like 300 or something like that. White men were next. They were like 1 in like 130-something. Then it was black women. They were like 1 in 120-something. How does it drop from 1 to 120-something down to 1 in 21? Every 21 black men, one of them will be killed by murder. 93% of them will be killed by somebody they know. That's an alarming stat that goes along in accordance to this topic, that there's an underhand that's making it happen, but the underhand could not make it happen if those people will say, nah, I'm going to ride with my people. They could never infiltrate us or infiltrate anything with someone that does not look like us. It won't work. So it always has to be somebody out there that's willing to give up all the secrets for their own personal gain. Everything is bigger than you, but it starts with you. Don't think that your actions are insignificant. Your actions could be a chain reaction to something else on a larger scale. Deal with people accordingly and fair, especially ones that look like you. Because at the end of the day, the reverse is, instead of you pointing the gun at them, the gun could be pointing at you. Understand that. It's no fun when a rabbit got the gun. So keep that in mind when you do on to others. You want them to do the same thing to you. And if you live a life of snitching and just going against your people, it will eventually catch up to you. Because trust and believe that the people that you snitch into, you know, former for, they really don't care about you. You're not getting any personal favor with them. You're really not. And really, you can't be trusted because you're willing to tell on your own people. During older times, if a spy, especially if he was part of the group that he was spying on, and he went to another king and gave up the business, they would kill him too. You know why? Because you can't be trusted. If you'll turn on them, you'll for sure turn on me for anything for your own personal gain. So, yes, no sides trust you. So why even do it? Stand up. There's no need for you to tell on your people. No need for that. We got enough snitches out here in this world that don't look like us. We don't need extra. We don't need people blended in just so they can go tell things. That's not how we're going to get to a point where that we can be either self-reliant or have a bigger stake in the power structure to make real changes. Now, the final subject that we're going to discuss, I left it for last for the simple reason I didn't want to turn anybody off in the beginning of the actual show. But this one is, to me, the most taboo topic of all when it comes to my black or melanated people. This is a definite no-no not to talk about. But, like I said before, if we don't talk about certain things, we can't ever truly believe that we can actually fix them. So, this final topic is about rape and molestation. In our communities, that is something that we do not talk about. It is definitely a topic that rubs people the wrong way, makes people feel uncomfortable, and with good reason, because we're talking about something forcibly being put on someone. Okay. Now, I did a little research about the topic of rape, and there were some things that besides the whole topic itself, there were some things that were extremely alarming to me. Now, these are things that in my travels I have come to realize that a good majority of people that have been raped in their life have been raped by somebody they know, by a day-to-day acquaintance, family friend. Over 39%, as a matter of fact, the people that were raped in 2015 were based upon someone that they knew. Now, there was another percentage of 33% of people. It didn't state. Now, this is the problem I had. It did not specify a category for family. Family or friends of the family. It just said acquaintances. I'm led to believe that that percentage, which is 39%, which was the highest out of all the topics that they had, and this is based upon RAINN. They're called RAIN. It's an online site that keeps statistics of the national rate and things of that nature. And I know in the black community that rape and molestation happens way more, much more often than we care to talk about. To the point that I believe that there are people that I know that have had that happen to them that will probably never admit that. I have met plenty of women, either through just general contact, trying to date, however you want to say, just meeting women. And I don't suggest this for anyone to do this, but when they feel comfortable with me, I have asked that question, have they been? And the answers that I got back hurt my feelings, because that it was a lot of them. More had than not. And then I started to believe that someone wanted to tell me they hadn't been, probably had been. Now, what is the significance of this? The significance of it is, especially the molestation part of it, is that it gives a younger person an unhealthy understanding of sex. Period. For whatever reason, however their mind dictates where it should go, it gives them an unrealistic and a skewed thought of sex, because it happened too early. It happened too early for them to totally understand what was going on. And then it happens with someone they know, because that's the only way they can usually get that close, is because it's someone close into the family that it's comfortable for them to be around. A family member, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin. I mean, I hate to say a mother or father, but it's true. It happens. And it's something that I've learned that happens a lot in the South. I'm not from the South. And although I come from the West Coast, it happens. But I learned that in the South, it happened more frequently in the home, meaning that it was a family member or a close family friend. And this has been going on for a long time. So this also falls on the line of each one teach one. Now, each one teach one could also be a negative thing. People who do or have raped or raped, usually it's because they have been raped. Now, that's a cycle. That is an absolute cycle of predators preying on prey, and then prey becoming predators preying on other prey. People that I know who choose their partners based upon things that happened to them when they were little. Some people that are over sex, I can say, who have sex in their mind 24/7, that's usually a byproduct of being molested or raped at a young age. Not saying all of it is, but there has been a pattern that can be shown throughout the years if that happens. We have, as a society, turned our back on that and don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it, don't want to talk about it. But there's people out there suffering from this. Suffering. And a lot of them don't even know. They have no idea why they feel the way they feel about certain things that pertain to men. Or on the flip side of that, I mean, it doesn't happen often, but men have been raped too. But it still gives you an unrealistic view of life as well as sex. For instance, sex is not supposed to be about dominance or control. When someone is raped, that's what that is. It's a women feel a form of helplessness when something like that occurs. Because no, you did not want it, but this man or person, whoever, perpetrated that to you. And there was nothing you could do about it. That is a form of helplessness. And that's scarring. And with scarring, we have come to a conclusion that trauma, especially on that type of level, gets into your DNA. Trauma is stored in your cells, in your DNA. It's actually your body's recording things that happen. And when something of that magnitude happened that changes your life or your world, that's recorded in your body and your cellular level. It just doesn't go away. That'll never go away. You can get help to get over it, but it never goes away. You never forget that. So that is inside of you internally now. And a lot of people don't understand that. That something that happens so traumatic to someone, especially a young child, warps their mind. There's even talk about, and I hate to go this route, but it is true. There's even some things out there where that people feel like they gain power, an actual sense of power, physically power, energy, power, when they do something that to a little kid, when they actually do something to that little kid. There's something in a metaphysical level that happens, some kind of power is drawn from them when that happens. This isn't something that we made up. This is something that's been going on for a long time. Unfortunately, my time is about to run out. I really would appreciate anyone who listened. Once again, this is IQ, the baby God. And once again, I tell you, remember, he who controls the black thought controls the world. Thank you for listening. Be good to everyone, just like you would like them to be good to you. And let's get together. And please, let's not Nipsey Hussle die in vain. Let's get together and build something. Let's build unity. Let's build businesses. We can do this. He showed us we could. All together and all for one. Thank you.